It's Texas time on the tour. Hi, and welcome into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka. So darn proud to be here with co-host and good friend Jay Randolph Jr. Jay, center stage, please.
My man, great to talk to you. We got a new star that's shining from the star state, if you will, Texas. Wins in Austin. Scotty Scheffler wins for the third time in 5 weeks. And that's a huge story. And, you know, I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. And a guy doesn't ascend to number one as quickly as he did in that time frame. You know, you look at his play at the match play, and he gets one of the gritty guys who's had great success in the match play in Billy Ho in the round of 16, Billy Horschel. And then he draws Seamus Power, who'd kind of been the hottest guy and been under the radar. He defeats him. Well, who you got next? You got DJ coming off his win against Koepka. And you beat him. And then you got your man, with Dwayne Bach on the bag and his tremendous pedigree of match play that he has shown, especially growing up on that match play golf course we love, Palmetto, down there in Aiken. Big stuff from Scotty Scheffler as we, you know, start to begin the build towards Augusta.
Very well said, Jay. And, you know, one other thing that has to be noted here, you know how college basketball teams, it's all in the recruiting. Even college golf teams, their success is built on the recruiting. How about a caddy by the name of Ted Scott? Long time on the bag for Bubba Watson. Watson and Scott part ways. Scott picks up the phone, calls Scotty Scheffler a few weeks back, says, "Hey, Scotty, I'm available if you're looking for a caddy." And Scotty says, "Well, you know, I heard a lot of good things about you, Ted. Why don't we give it a try?" Bingo. Ted Scott, in the last few weeks, made in excess of 400,000 large. So you got to give a lot of credit to Ted Scott picking up that phone call. He knew what he was doing.
No question about it. And let's hear from the hottest player in the world. As I said, third victory in his last five starts. Over the last 43 days, Scotty Scheffler.
I really don't know how to describe the emotion. You know, I've thought about winning this tournament, and you know, ever since last year, it left, you know, kind of a poor taste in my mouth. You know, getting so close and ultimately coming up short. So it feels really good to finish the job this time around.
Pretty amazing stuff. He's a very modest kid. I'm very good friends with John Fields. You know him well too, Jay. He's the head coach at the University of Texas. He has nothing but great things to say about Scheffler, not only on the golf course, but off the golf course as a human being.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen guys get on runs, but this one, you know, it is early in the year, and the quality of golf and quality of golf courses leads you to believe that at some point in the next couple of months, he's going to be in contention for a major, if not a couple of majors. So, you know, that's an added thing into the mix as we move towards Augusta. But, you know, the other side, as I mentioned, Bob, the quick rise to number one in the world, and Scheffler discussed it.
Yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool to do that in front of my family. You know, they've supported me so much along the way, and I really don't know what to say about that. I don't feel like number one in the world. I feel like the same guy I was 4 months ago, and I hope that doesn't change. And I don't feel any different.
Nice not to feel any different, but my man, you're going to be looked at differently, and as a favorite as we lead toward Augusta. Bobby's got a real solid lead in the FedEx Cup points, and again, he's in that category now with his number of victories and the quality of victories of, you know, when's my major?
You know, it's very interesting, Jay. A few weeks back, I had an opportunity to do an interview with Jim Nance. And, of course, I pressed Jim on, who do you like for the Masters, Mr. Nance? You've been there a long, long time, having done your first one back in 1986. In fact, that's where Jack won. That's where Ken Venturi told Jim Nance after that Masters. He said, Sonny, you may do a lot more Masters in your career, but you're never going to do a better one than this one. And yeah. I said, hey, Jim, who do you like? You know the first name he said? I like this kid, Scotty Scheffler. Now, this is a few weeks back before these victories started to come in. So I'm starting to say, and I'm asking you, Jay, does Jim Nance know what he's talking about?
Yes, absolutely. Jim Nance knows what he's talking about. Some people don't like the style sometimes that he displays it, but I think he's got a great knowledge of the game, and you know, he's also connected to the state of Texas. So the word was out on Scheffler, as you said. And speaking of Texas, we stay in Texas. It's the Valero Texas Open, the prelude to Augusta in San Antonio. Great Tex-Mex down there. And Jordan Spieth, Bob, is defending, kind of his big pronouncement of his comeback last year.
Yeah, it's going to be an important week for Jordan Spieth. Obviously, he wants to be guns a-blazing when he gets to Augusta. I think he's going to need another good performance. I don't think he necessarily has to defend his title, but I would think a top 10 finish probably would boost his confidence enough to play well down at the end of Magnolia Lane. But we'll be keeping an eye on Jordan Spieth. Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy playing for the first time since 2013. Pretty good reason, Jay. He said he wants four rounds of stroke play prior to going to Augusta. He's been down to Augusta, as a matter of fact, last couple of days, playing by himself. No entertaining, just getting a good look and feel for Augusta. I think pretty good strategy by McIlroy.
We'll see. We'll see. I think in a sense, he's a little bit in searching mode, searching for what's right, searching for why he's not putting four rounds together, searching what's missing from before. You know, this may be a search that pays off here with, he usually didn't play before the Masters. Now he is, and we'll see. Hideki, who played Valero last year before winning, is also returning. And, you know, you got 23 guys. You know, Jack's old edict was a week off before the major for the most part. It served him well. But you got 23 guys already going to Augusta, Bob, that are playing. And any of the 121 that are in the field that aren't will get there with a W.
Yeah, of course, that's a golden plum being dangled in front of these players. Victory at Valero, you get to tee it up at Augusta National the following week. What about Bryson DeChambeau? He's in the field. I don't know his health condition, Jay. Can you shed any light on that?
Not necessarily on the health condition. I don't think he had necessarily the return that he wanted, but he got back, got three rounds of golf in. I mean, maybe he'll show us something this week. Keegan Bradley's been showing a lot lately. You're wondering a little bit about Cameron Champ, who's in the field. Jason Day, you know, he's always got something going on. He's returning from the passing of his mother. Ricky Fowler really needs to play well this week. I get the sense. This is a tournament he's played well in before. Watch out for Gary Woodland. And Tony Finau, who had become a regular on leaderboards when he played, has been a little missing in action. So it's a big week for a lot of guys the week before Augusta, Bob. you know, this has still got a little meat, this Valero Texas Open.
And, of course, it means only one thing. 1 week to go, first major championship of the year. Phil Mickelson definitely not playing, as he's now on the past champions not playing list. My voice sounds a little hoarse. I apologize. Haven't had a little bout with some, I don't know, whatever it is. It's been a frog living in my throat. I apologize. Anyway, Tiger, he was there the last couple of days with Charlie over the weekend. You know what I'm kind of hoping for? I don't know, and I need your opinion on this, Jay. I don't know if he's strong enough to walk 72 holes at Augusta, but maybe he'll play with Charlie in the par three contest.
Yeah, I think that would be the great script, but I don't know. It's very interesting. I mean, maybe he just said, you know, let's go up and play around at Augusta, Charlie, with JT. I'm gonna help him understand the place a little bit more, and you're right. I don't know. It's fascinating because, as always, for the most part, he keeps quiet about it and, you know, lets everybody else speculate, which is what he's earned to do. I'd be really surprised to see him play. You mentioned, Bob, I mean, Augusta's no walk in the park. It's people that have never been there don't understand some of the elevation, and it's not the easiest golf course to walk. You know what I mean?
Well, it certainly is very difficult to walk. We have word that Tiger will be at the Champions Dinner, which is a good thing. I got a kick out of when he was going to go up for his practice rounds, and he said to Justin Thomas, you want to come with me? And Justin said, well, you know, it's such a hassle to get to Augusta. And Tiger opened up his phone and said, you see this plane? I think baby's got gas in it, and it's ready to roll. A few minutes later, they were on the runway at Augusta. So no hassle for Tiger to get anywhere he wants in this world. Certainly from Florida to Augusta, they barely could get to cruising altitude when the word would be, we're going down to land in Augusta. Some changes, Jay, to Augusta National? You heard anything about them?
Well, Rory, after he played a couple of days, he said there are changes to 11 and 15, plus three new greens, 3, 13, and 17. That'll be interesting to see what they've done at 17. He says the biggest factor, if there's a change at all, is distance control. And, they do it on a par 5. Well, 11 is such a tough green, too. You take a look at the field, pretty much set as we mentioned, if a non-entered player wins the Valero Texas Open, they will get their ticket to Augusta next week. But you got a field size of 91, 44 from the states, the United States, that is, and 47 international. 6 amateurs, always a part of the Masters. Not quite as much as it once was, but still strong to see 6 of them, 19 first timers. And we go back to the Fuzz Buster, the last time that happened, and 18 past champions, Bob. It's going to be great. One thing I'm not real happy about, it may be good for the city of Houston, but the final week of the Dyna in the desert, and, 51 years out there, they ought to call it the Dyna. I've mentioned that before. Maybe I'm too much of a history person in the game, but somebody will make their last jump into the pond this weekend, and they'll go to Houston and everybody will forget about it, but I won't.
No, I won't either. I think I agree wholeheartedly with you. Should be and always should be the Dyna. Just a legendary stop on the LPGA Tour.
No question. And good for some of the gals. The LPGA announced changes to its Hall of Fame criteria. Finally, all 13 founders that were there at the start will be inducted into the Hall. And plus, one of the great players over the last 30 or 40 years, Lorena Ochoa. Well, Bob, a lot to get in this week as we get ready for major season upon us. Next week, we'll be back to preview the big one, our Masters preview show, and take a look at who's wearing those new cowboy boots that they give out at the Valero Texas Open.